SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to a Football Friday here on Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock here on the show. We'll recap Thursday night football and preview the upcoming week ahead. But naturally, we start off with the bombshell that was dropped last night. Davis and I have been talking about this for a couple of weeks on the show. I think both of us were in the same category here saying unlikely to happen, but it did. Christian McCaffrey, arguably the first, second, or third overall pick in fantasy football, traded midway through the season in the NFL, something we have never seen like this before, to the San Francisco 49ers. Also, the Cardinals in a very wild, high-scoring, good game last night on Thursday Night Football ended up beating the Saints. Elijah Moore, wide receiver of the Jets, has requested a trade from the Jets. Meanwhile, Jets are playing well, sort of peculiar. And the Astros have taken a commanding 2-0 series lead over the New York Yankees. Phillies and Padres will play later tonight. But Davis, our focus today here on the show is Christian McCaffrey, who goes from a horrible situation in Carolina to an unbelievable situation in San Francisco. I think fantasy owners may have to wait a week or two to get the full value from that. But my goodness, this is sort of crazy to think that this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of heard that take floated out there like, oh, you know, they're not going to get him the ball in San Francisco near as much as they did in Carolina, to which I say, I mean, who cares, right? I mean, going from literally the worst, like worse than the Bears, worse than the Jets, just worst offense you could imagine in Carolina, to playing with Jimmy Garoppolo, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. I mean, even on 16 touches a game or something like that, McCaffrey is going to greatly improve his fantasy value. I think owners who did take him number one overall in their fantasy drafts are going to end up being pretty pleased. And it's not as if McCaffrey's been bad. I mean, he has been over 23 fantasy points in three straight games anyway. So I think you got to feel pretty good. And I was absolutely floored. Now, McCaffrey obviously does fit this offense, but does any team love to piss away draft picks on running backs more than the San Francisco 49ers? I mean, look at all the draft picks they have spent on running back over the last 4 years. Multiple third-round picks. They trade picks. They're spending fifth-round picks on running backs. And it's like Shanahan just always needs a new toy to play with. No 1,000-yard rushers under Kyle Shanahan. Has had a different guy lead the team in rushing every single year he's been the head coach of the 49ers. It's like, for McCaffrey, you would hope not, but, I mean, could happen, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, but the point you make is fair. I mean, think about all of the different running backs that the 49ers have run through the years, not to mention the guys that they drafted, as, you know, Trey Sermon, I'm sure, is who you're referring to here, but totally understand. And I think to sort of expand the conversation, Davis, for anybody to think that the 49ers – in the middle of a season are going to trade all of these picks to not use McCaffrey. Like, I mean, are you out of your mind? Like, I don't know. Like, I think that he's going to be the focal point of the offense like he was in Carolina. And I would say, by the way, it's a huge boost, but I suppose the question that we probably have to answer for people is that anybody who's watching our show, Davis, is playing fantasy football this week and they have Christian McCaffrey. Would you play him this week?
It would be pretty context dependent. I mean, would I play him over, you know, Chase Edmonds, Nyheim Hines, like guys like that? Yeah, absolutely. If you had the good fortune, like, oh, you know, I drafted Ramondre Stevenson in the eighth round of my draft. I have Kenneth Walker. I started Eno Benjamin on Thursday night already, you know, something like that. Then it gets a little bit closer. Where I would be for sure smashing him in, and I've got, you know, something like this on some of my teams, in the flex where you have like, oh, I got Chase Claypool, Terry McLaurin, and Christian McCaffrey. I'm just starting McCaffrey there, right? Where it's like, sure, Chase Claypool, 100 yards and a touchdown last week, McLaurin playing without Jahan Dotson, whatever. I just like, because you're going to hate yourself so much if you're like, I'm going to start Terry McLaurin because he's going to get all these targets, and the Terry McLaurin right. Goes 2 for 30, doesn't score a touchdown. McCaffrey gets 6 touches but scores twice against the Chiefs, which would be like that would be the rational coaching move to do, which is don't have McCaffrey play a ton between the 20s where he doesn't really know the playbook. but get down to the 6 yard line. You got Kittle, CMC, Debo, Ayuk in there. Like, what are the Chiefs going to do? That feels like an impossible situation for them. So I'd probably rank him like running back 20 this week or something like that, which means by and large, you're probably going to start him.
Yeah, most likely you probably have to. I know that I was excited to see that happen last night. I don't get any hate on this one at all. But Davis, what we can say moving forward before we get to our fantasy standouts from last night's game, I feel like it's proper, by the way, to spend all this time on McCaffrey. I need to find the defenses going against Carolina the rest of the season. I think that's a very underrated take right now for those people in fantasy leagues. Like Tampa Bay, somebody owns their defense, Davis, but week 13, week 14, week 15, you may win a championship going against this team this year. My gosh, this is I don't think they're going to win a game the rest of the year.
They're not. I mean, honestly, the only concern you would have with playing a defense against Carolina is that they know they're going to lose, so they're not even going to throw passes down 20 points. They're going to be down 20 points in the third quarter and just handing the ball off and getting out of there. That really would be the only concern. But yeah, I mean, I would assume against Carolina is going to be the number one streaming spot for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and on top of it, congratulations for those of you with your 6 or 5.5 on the Panthers win total for this season. I guess save this video if I'm wrong at the end of the season, but I think you got this one, folks, if you bet that before the beginning of the year. We'll have our fantasy standouts from Saints and Cardinals.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To think that the Cardinals and Saints went over their total last night would be an understatement. 70 points scored between these two teams. Although, Davis, the defenses were a big part of this, especially Arizona's defense. They had the good fortune of going up against Andy Dalton yesterday. The game sort of got out of hand early, and that opened up for, I mean, I wouldn't call it garbage time at all. I mean, the Saints really were within a touchdown of getting back and winning the game. But naturally, I would say that at least the game met our expectations. And so we could maybe put to bed the idea that no points are going to be scored on Thursday night, at least for now.
Well, I mean, I think both teams were certainly going into that game with a pretty conservative game plan. I don't think either team really wanted to play that game. But what ended up happening was Andy Dalton throws the two pick sixes. They get down two touchdowns, and they kind of just have to start gunning. And also, I mean, the Eno Benjamin just had such an insane game. It felt like every time they gave Eno Benjamin the ball, he was just ripping off like 15 yards at a time. So even if the Cardinals had wanted to play that spot a little bit more conservatively, they just kept getting into scoring positions. And honestly, my biggest takeaway was really, really looked like the Arizona Cardinals really missed DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler basically Kyler like forgot that everyone else existed on the team. DeAndre Hopkins, 14 targets on 29 aimed throws. No one else on the team more than 5, and that was Eno Benjamin out of the backfield. Like, I was not really aggressively drafting Hopkins, but it looks kind of bad because Kyler just immediately gets back on the field and he's like, that's my guy.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it looked like it with all the targets that he got yesterday. So let's dive in and take a look at the Cardinals fantasy standouts as they pick up the win. And the Saints are, going the other way, it looks like, at least at this point. Kyler Murray yesterday ends up throwing for a touchdown, also 30 rush yards and 200 passing yards. Eno Benjamin was the beneficiary of a late scratch for James Conner. I suppose some people thought he wasn't going to play anyway, but for those of you who suited up Benjamin last night, you made the most of it. 92 rushing yards, also 4 receptions, 21 yards and a touchdown. Keontae Ingram got in the end zone early for Arizona. That was a bit of a surprise. He also had 14 rushing yards, 2 receptions. And then as Davis mentioned, having DeAndre Hopkins back, just look at the numbers. 10 for 103 for Hopkins. But at the very least, I think Arizona learned, and we learned in fantasy football that, hey, Eno Benjamin could potentially be a guy that could help you down the stretch if Connor was to be out or not healthy. He's a viable part of general has been pretty good through the years.
Yeah, I mean, Eno, a guy I really love to draft, got him on a bunch of these FFPC main event times. So always nice to start your week in some of these high stakes leagues with 20 points to just feels very good to get that out of the way. I mean, James Conner, I think unfortunately has kind of reached the stage of his career where his effectiveness on a per snap basis is really going down. Eno, I mean, pretty much every time Eno has gotten on the field this year, he's looked really strong. Like in terms of fantasy takeaways for this game, I think unfortunately we just didn't really learn a lot about what this offense is going to look like without Marquise Brown because Kyler Murray only threw 29 times and the Cardinals pretty much all year they've been behind, right? They've been playing these games from behind. Looking forward, seems like they're going to play plenty of games from behind, but we didn't really get a glimpse of that. The thing that was most concerning from a fantasy perspective is that I don't know why Cliff Kingsbury would do this, but he did. I mean, he did do the right thing in benching. He did do the right thing in benching AJ Green, who just very sadly has absolutely no juice left. I mean, AJ Green, all-time great. We'll always remember some of those amazing seasons in Cincinnati, but just no juice left. But what they did was they moved the 5'7" Rondale Moore to the perimeter and had him play out there. And look, I mean, I like Rondale. I think he has a role in the NFL. But he just is not going to win playing on the outside. It's just
Right.
absolutely not going to happen. So I think that I would imagine they are hoping that Robbie Anderson can get up to speed pretty quick so that their 11 personnel can be Zach Ertz as the tight end, Rondale in the slot, Robbie Anderson as the flanker, and then Hopkins always out there on the left.
And over on the Saints side, we got another touchdown from this kid, Rashid Shaheed. So I want to get into him a little bit here, but let's take a look at the fantasy standouts who really made the biggest impact on the side of the Saints. Again, they're playing catch up most of the game, so that's where these numbers come from, especially Dalton's, who threw for 360 yards and four touchdowns, but really looked horrible pretty much in the process. He also threw three interceptions yesterday. Alvin Kamara, seven receptions, 56 yards, also 49 rushing yards. Olave had seven for 106, so a nice 17-point day there. Juwan Johnson, if anybody started him, I mean, good job, I guess. Five receptions, 32 yards, and two touchdowns. And Shaheed, for the second straight week, scores a touchdown there. I don't know where this. Oh, also Taysom Hill scored a touchdown. My goodness, I don't want to forget Taysom. I don't know why Taysom, by the way, doesn't play as quarterback there. He probably could do a better job than Dalton. They seem adverse, Davis, to putting Jameis Winston back in. There are some that feel that maybe he's not 100% healthy, but he's like 80% healthy. And so Dennis Allen going with Dalton in these spots, it feels like Winston probably could do the same thing. I don't know. Maybe they've just fallen out of favor with Winston. I'm not sure. And then the Hill's usage is sort of odd. When he comes in, he like immediately makes something happen, and then they just don't use him for like 15 plays. I just don't know which way the Saints are going here. I'm not sure.
Well, remember, Jameis has these back fractures, which I mean, just like imagine playing football with back fractures. That report came out in week one. They said he could play, but that it was going to be a pain management issue. I would imagine that if you have small fractures in your back, it's probably pretty hard to plant off that back foot and get like the full juice into a throw. There also like there was this horrible pregame report yesterday about Andy Dalton having a calming influence on the team. Probably hard to have a calming influence when you throw back-to-back pick sixes. I really thought, Craig, I really thought the team was going to come out second half, get the ball back, and Taysom was going to be a quarterback. They didn't go that direction. However, if you set the line right now at 0.5 starts at quarterback for Taysom rest of the season, I think at this point you'd have to take the over because the Dalton thing is not working out. Jameis is already a high variance quarterback when he's not injured. I mean, it's easily the weirdest quarterback situation in the league where Jameis is active but backing up but not fully healthy,
Right.
and then Taysom is taking wildcat snaps. And then the guy who would be most obnoxious to own for fantasy football of any of these players, though, got to be Alvin Kamara. I mean, he is getting the workload you would have imagined. He is every game he's getting 100 yards, every game he's catching five passes. Zero touchdowns through 6 weeks. You got to just be pulling your hair out if you drafted Alvin Kamara. And how about Olave? We loved all these rookie wide receivers. Olave looks like the best one. Third 100-yard game, came back from the concussion, just like I mean, where's Olave going to go in drafts next year, assuming that
Yeah,
we
he's
are not
good.
doing this Michael Thomas thing again, like second, third round, probably? Guy's a stud.
Yeah, my favorite under of the season was the Saints, and so I still feel that's going to hit because I just don't think they're a very good team. I've talked about Winston with you forever, so you know my feeling on that. But that's an interesting line that you set there. I would have set that higher, by the way, than a half. I would have set that higher. I would have set that at like 2.5. I think the notion that Taysom Hill is worse than these two guys, I mean, I think it's false. I mean, I think him running Wildcat and throwing 10 passes a game like Mariota's doing in Atlanta and playing C-plus defense, I think that's the only shot Davis the Saints have. I don't think they have any shot to win other games playing any other way. They're just the other two quarterbacks are going to throw more picks than any other quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I do think like just a very run heavy offense around Taysom probably is a little bit better. But also, let's just say in a mystical world where Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry get healthy again,
True. Like, yeah. You
know, not throwing to Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway will probably improve Dalton and or Jameis as well.
I mean, that may have been the best pass I saw Taysom throw in his career in that crossing route with the guy who ran for 40 yards. All right, we'll be right back with Jim Stanton.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's time to take a look at the weekend slate in Daily Fantasy. Joining us here on the show, as he always does, Jim Stanis from FanDuel and Number Fire. We're going to break down the slates here. And Jim, great to have you back here on the show. How was your week?
Great to be here. Had a fun week so far. Thursday night was pretty sick with the weirdly fun game. It was chaotic, but chaos is fun. So in a good mood heading to week 7.
All right, good. Well, we'll see if we can build a winning lineup, you, me, Davis, all together. And obviously these numbers courtesy of FanDuel. So those of you who are playing this weekend, get out your FanDuel app and we'll help you set a lineup right now. Let's start with the quarterback position as always. And we will start right at the top with Lamar Jackson, who's got to be seething after the way the game ended last week against the New York Giants. He is priced at 8,800. Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs in that game against the 49ers and McCaffrey, 8,500. Joe Burrow, 8,300, coming on pretty strong after last week. Justin Herbert, oh, I don't know, a little dicey, 8,100. Derek Carr coming off the bye, 7,800. And then Jim, it looks like Dak Prescott will return this week. He's priced at $7,500. So how do you see the quarterback slate? Who are you going with this week?
Yeah, I really want to get to Lamar Jackson at 88, and I think I can get there from a salary perspective. The question is the health of his pass catchers. I think Mark Andrews should be good to go, but he's banged up. Rashad Bateman, if he can play. If they get both those guys, Lamar, to me, is in a tier of his own this week. He has been super efficient passing this year, still running a lot. So I want to get to Lamar, just have to get a read on the pass catchers first. Beyond Lamar Jackson, I think you're looking at Mahomes, obviously, but also Justin Herbert in that game with the Seahawks. But let's not forget, it is a Geno Smith revenge game this week against the Chargers. Just spent 1 year there, but hey, it still counts as a revenge game. Regardless, $6,800 on FanDuel opens up quite a bit to allow you to get to some, you know, non-basement dwelling receivers for this week. So I do like Geno. I think that Dak is interesting too at 75. But I think the key question is, do you get to Lamar and where do you go outside of him? And to me, I kind of like Geno quite a bit, potentially as my number two quarterback after considering salary for this week.
I do. I don't hate the Geno angle. Obviously, Lamar, Andrews, Duvernay. I mean, Duvernay, I think, is probably one of the better salary relief options on FanDuel this week. But I'm definitely looking at Mahomes this week. People continue to not play his wide receivers. We saw last week Juju finally. I mean, it did take one of the most absurd broken plays you've ever seen to get Smith-Schuster there. Valdez Scantling had two touchdowns on the opening drive, neither of which ended up counting in the box score. It is certainly a matter of time, I think, before, you know, just a vintage 400-yard, five-touchdown Mahomes game. The 49ers have had, like, an unbelievable amount of defensive injuries. I think that this is a pretty good spot, but it really, really doesn't get any easier than Lamar and Andrews on this slate, especially because there's plenty of running back value.
Yeah, for sure. Running backs definitely at a premium this week. We got some good ones here, so let's go through it. Austin Eckler has been really good over the last month. He is basically priced under 10,000. Saquon Barkley's had a nice season, 9,300 for him. Derrick Henry is back this week for 9,200. Nick Chubb at 8,900. Jim, definitely want your take here on McCaffrey, priced at 8,700. And then Josh Jacobs checks in. Jacobs coming off a really good game a couple weeks ago as well at 8,600. But naturally, Jim, fantasy here, we're buzzing quite a bit with this McCaffrey trade. It seems like a dicey proposition to throw him in a lineup at 8,700, but maybe that's how you win the million this week. Maybe McCaffrey does more than we think he'll do going into this week.
Yeah, I'll let someone else do that. I'm going to pass personally just because I don't think the workload will be there to justify it. So I'll pass on him and instead live in the mid-range of running back. The mid-range to me is kind of the place I want to be in because the fall off in expected workload after Kenneth Walker III at 73 is pretty massive. So Kenneth Walker III, very much in play against the Chargers. Joe Mixon against Atlanta. We've seen the Cincinnati offense pick up here recently. They've been more efficient when T. Higgins has been healthy. So I think that bodes well for Mixon, who still had a good workload despite the lack of efficiency. Breece Hall, 76. It's a dicey situation with no Elijah Moore because it will decrease his passing efficiency. That hurts everyone on the team for sure. But I still think that Hall is in a good situation. Damian Pierce facing Vegas. He's had an amazing workload so far. You can run on Vegas too. So I want to live in that range. DeAndre Swift, if he gets in a full practice Friday too at 78, I love that range. The 7,000 range running backs, all very, very enticing to me. And they save you some salary. Josh Jacobs, 86 too, is definitely in play. But I think to me, Craig, what I want to do is take advantage of that mid-range at running back and live there in order to, again, allow myself to get guys with good workloads without breaking the bank.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jim. I don't really think that the Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon range is the optimal way to go. I am pretty confident in not playing Josh Jacobs along with 30% of the field because of exactly the guys Jim mentioned. Breece Hall, absolutely incredible spot. I mean, Denver just stinks. I know the defense has been okay, but not really worried about the game script getting out of control. The most depressing stat of the year, our friend Pat Corain had this one. Breece Hall's average depth of target deeper down the field than George Kittle, just for an example of how much he's getting used in the passing game. Damian Pierce, probably my favorite running back play of the week. He's going to be direct leverage on Josh Jacobs. I would imagine he will be half as owned as Jacobs, maybe even a little bit less than that. He has completely iced Rex Burkhead. Burkhead didn't even have a carry, not a single carry in the Texans' most recent game, and Pierce ran more routes than him. Like, he really is set up, I think, to be a phenomenal player. And I like the Swift call as well, coming off of the bye week and hasn't played in, I think, 4 weeks now.
Yeah, I got to put him in a season-long lineup this week. A little dicey. Hope for the best, no doubt, at Dallas. All right, let's go to wide receiver. I am a little perplexed here that the NFL has had no announcement at all on Devontae Adams. I hope Sunday morning that we don't hear something crazy like he's suspended for a game or something like that. But as of right now, he is the highest-priced receiver on the slate at 8,800. Jamar Chase of the Bengals, 8,500 coming off a good game. Mike Williams, very quiet last week at 7,800. Debo, 77. CeeDee Lamb's played nicely lately at 77. And then Mike Evans of the Buccaneers going up against that Carolina team, Jim, that probably won't put up much of a fight. Bucks up to 13-point favorites on the road this week. He is priced just under 8,000.
Yeah, I think for me, wide receiver is similar to running back, where there's a range I want to live in. And here that range is T. Higgins at 71 down to the 6,000 range of Michael Gallup, because T. Higgins has had an amazing workload when he's been healthy this year. Four healthy games, a 26% target share, a lot of deep work, 25% red zone share too. Facing off with Atlanta, his secondary is very good, but also banged up right now. I think A.J. Terrell will play, but some other injuries there as well. So T. Higgins, 71. My favorite play, I think, at any position on the entire slate. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett did disappoint last week with playing indoors this week. Facing off with the Chargers, defense is underwhelmed so far, and I like that game a lot. So Metcalf and Lockett both very much in play. I don't care what you choose. I like both. I think they're both in good situations. Gallup, getting Dak Prescott back, facing off with Detroit, Detroit does play some man, so we could see some shadow coverage for CeeDee Lamb and Jeff Okuda, and I don't worry about that for Lamb at all, but it could open up some more efficient targets for Gallup at 61, so I do like him quite a bit. The one guy to keep an eye on here is Mac Hollins. Darren Waller probably not going to play. Hunter Renfrow surprisingly popped up on the injury report on Thursday, so if they both sit, I'd go to Hollins. If one of them plays, I probably wouldn't be as intrigued, but could open up some stuff for Hollins at 55 in a situation where I don't think he'll be super popular this week.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that. The one mega chalky play of the week is like CeeDee Lamb is going to be one of the most owned players that we have seen. I'm also very interested in these Seattle guys, and as previously mentioned, the Kansas City guys. I also think this might be the last week to get it in good with Deebo Samuel, because I would imagine one of the big ramifications of Christian McCaffrey joining the team is a limit on the rushing attempts for Deebo Samuel, particularly in the red zone. So I wonder if we see like a 14 touch Deebo Samuel game here, just because the coaches, I think, are like, let's take the Rolls Royce for one last spin out of the garage, because he's about to be packed away for the winter.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's close it out. It seems like elite tight end week is here. My gosh, they're all on the slate for the most part. We've got Mark Andrews, who, of course, is having a phenomenal season. Travis Kelce, who's a great play every week. Waiting for the George Kittle move, if not.
Yeah, I think for me, again, I want to get to Andrews and Kelce, but realistically, with my favorite running backs being the 7,000 range, not a ton of value at receiver, I might have to spend down. So I want to get to Andrews and Kelce, but it is tough to get there. I think some guys you can turn to here are in the value range. Weirdly, I don't typically like a lot of value tight ends, but Kate Otten, 49, no Cameron Brate this week. We got Foster Moreau, 46, without Darren Waller. There's Dalton Schultz at 48, kind of overlooked at that coming back against Detroit. I think he's pretty fun as well. And then Greg Dulcich, if Russell Wilson plays, didn't get a ton of work in that first game, but ran a lot of routes. So, you know, I'm not like super into Dulcich, but I think he's definitely in play. A lot of talent, so I'm get that end zone target too, in addition to his touchdown. So Dulcich at minimum salary in FanDuel, $4,000, intriguing, but just a lot of guys in the 4,000 range we don't typically get between Moreau, Schultz, Otten, and then potentially Dulcich too.
There are absolutely no shortage of cheap tight ends this week. Dulcich, who is probably my favorite. Moreau, probably my second favorite. Otten is pretty good, because I would expect he would be the least amount owned, which I actually think in a weird way is going to make Kelce and Andrews even more appealing, because if your opponents, you know, if 50, 60% of your opponents are playing these guys who are, you know, dogs to crack 6 points, that makes me more interested in them.
All right, Jim. Hey, thanks again for coming on the show. Good luck this weekend for sure. We'll catch up with you again next Friday.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you both very much.
All right. Follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Sanis, all of his simulations at NumberFire, and certainly all of his work for FanDuel as well. All right. We got to take one more time out here on the show. Coming up next, fantasy or reality. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We got fantasy or reality coming up. Make sure you're following us this weekend on Twitter. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, fantasy content, sports betting content, everything that we're doing here on our network. You can find at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. I guess, Davis, we completely glossed over the fact that the Panthers need to have a new starting running back at this point. They drafted Chuba Hubbard a couple of years ago. I thought he was fantastic in college. And was hoping he'd get more of an opportunity. Did he make the most of it when McCaffrey was out? Probably not. Deontay Foreman was also fantastic at the University of Texas. He's bounced around the league quite a bit. Has he made the most of his opportunities? Probably not. But it's a living, breathing running back, Davis. Who is the one to own?
Hubbard is the one to own because Hubbard would be the more likely replacement to get the receiving work that McCaffrey leaves behind. Foreman did play actually pretty well for the Tennessee Titans last year after Derrick Henry went on IR with that foot injury, but he was not getting any passing down work. That was when we saw Dontrell Hilliard emerge as the third down, you know, passing down back. And, you know, Foreman, I guess, is probably going to get the first crack at being like the guy because he's played ahead of Hubbard already this year. Hubbard has made some horrible special teams mistakes this year. He's fumbled two kickoffs, got benched after that. I mean, honestly, like, this is going to be a timeshare on the team that runs the fewest plays per game in the NFL and is a double-digit dog in every game they play. So it's hard to imagine ever really wanting to start either one of them. If Hubbard gets like 70% of the snaps and is playing every third down, not giving up any of that stuff to Foreman, just because running back is so horrible, I could see him, you know, grinding out like 11 points a week or something. But it's just never going to be a spot where you're like, yeah, I'm really excited to play Chuba Hubbard this week.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. All right, well, looks like that is the case. Panthers just going downhill at this point, but we are going over to do some fantasy or reality. All right, let's get started with the NBA tonight. We haven't had a chance to hit on it, so let's tackle one game here. Golden State Warriors looked very good in their first game of the season. Obviously, the Denver Nuggets with Jokic are a really good team, too. It's certainly a chance that these two teams are facing off against each other in the Western Conference Finals. Let's not discount the LA Clippers, and, you know, certainly there are other teams, too, that could potentially be in the mix as well. Phoenix Suns. But let's take a look here at fantasy reality from the perspective of these two teams that are facing off tonight. Denver Nuggets, Golden State Warriors is a Western Conference Finals preview.
Yeah, I got fantasy here. I mean, I just think the Clippers are too good. Kawhi doesn't even barely get in the game last night. You know, they're just playing whoever they want. I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. They can just throw Robert Covington and Norman Powell and Brandon Boston and Nicholas Batum. Like, they have so many wings. They're so deep. They're going to do such a good job keeping Paul George and Kawhi Leonard healthy in the regular season. You know, the coaching staff was talking to the media last night about just like the whole goal. I mean, really, I would view it this way. They're kind of viewing Kawhi Leonard like their closer. Like, they're just keeping him hermetically sealed, you know, based on the Denver Nuggets. I think Jokic, an incredibly deserving two-time MVP. I think he's better on defense than people say, obviously. And in a weird way, I actually think that the Clippers are one of the more favorable matchups that the Denver Nuggets could get in this eventual conference finals because they are not going to bomb the three-pointers as aggressively. Like Warriors-Nuggets is really difficult for Jokic because they just put Jokic in pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll, and Draymond's going at him, and Curry's going at him, and Klay's going at him, and Poole's going at him, and it's just hard for him to stay on the floor in those matchups. But yeah, I got fantasy. I think in the end, it is going to end up being my pick right now would be Nuggets Clippers.
Yeah, I'll go fantasy as well, and really not for the fact of those other teams you mentioned, just because of the variance of what could potentially happen.
Sure.
The West at the top, I think the East maybe as a whole is better, but the West at the top, like, would it shock me to see Dallas in the finals? No. Would it shock me to see Phoenix in the finals? No. So, like, we are giving the possibility, basically, of these two teams, plus the two that I just mentioned, and the Clippers, that's five. I mean, odds are one of those other four are going to be in that. And even if you want to give Denver a finals appearance or you want to give Golden State an appearance, I think the West basically has five teams to me, and any of them could be in the finals. So I'm going to say fantasy here, but I do think it's a good suggestion because obviously Denver's very good and Golden State is just not the sexy pick, even though they're the favorite to win the West. So I will say fantasy. Some other team wins a game seven. Anything can happen. It's really hard to just narrow it down to those two teams. All right, Coach Drew at Baylor made an interesting comment the other day, essentially saying that the field of 64, or I guess it's 68 or 70 at this point, I can't even keep up because they have these play-in games now, so many different ones on Monday or Tuesday. 68, okay, so they have the play-in game to 68, then they get down to 64, and then they play the field of 64. Coach Drew is like looking at football and saying, like, hey, like they're expanding the playoffs, why don't we expand? But the number that he gave, Davis, is 128 teams. So that would be so we already have a three-week tournament, a four-week tournament, an eight-week tournament for the NCAA? My goodness. Fantasy or reality, March Madness should expand. Now, to what number, I guess, is a bigger conversation here, but I don't know, Davis. 128 teams? What's the point of any regular season at all?
Yeah, that would be my perspective as well. I mean, the more you expand it, the more useless it's going to be. I mean, I would imagine the primary argument for expanding it from a business perspective would be 95% of people who watch March Madness do not watch a minute of, you know, regular season college basketball. They're not watching, you know, Kansas versus Oklahoma on January 4th. They're not watching, you know, Villanova just crushing. I don't even know what conference Villanova plays in, but, you know, just like whatever these regular season games are. What people want is they want the upsets. They want the buzzer beaters. They want to fill out their brackets. They want to gamble. They want to take that Thursday off of work to watch college basketball, right? That's what it's all about for them. And I guess that extends it. That makes it more interesting. Because the most interesting days of the tournament are the first 2 days when you're trying to find out what channel True TV is on. Right. So you can you can have like 19 games on and you got all these bets and these parlays and stuff. But then I wonder if you burn the people out. You know, if there is 6 days of 20 games on a day, I mean, is that too much? Like, are just people like, I can't possibly keep up with all this? Like, no way. So I think it's a pretty perfect product. It's got to make the NCAA, I mean, it's got to be a $1 billion product, right? March Madness, like, don't tamper with it too much. The play-in games, whatever, they're fine. I'm not obviously that crazy about them. So I got fantasy. Keep it the same.
Yeah, I mean, I could go with a mini reality, like if you wanted to go a couple more teams. I don't have an issue with that mainly. But I think, Davis, what you said is sort of accurate here. Like, let's think of all sports. You could tinker with the NHL, and they've tinkered with the NBA and added more teams. That has worked. Baseball's had some wild card teams. The NFL has as well. This seems like the perfect product. I don't understand what the need would be to expand it more. You could water this one down. The whole idea of that first weekend in that tournament is the fact that people are traveling across the country to go to different places and watch. And they used to go to Vegas. Now you could just bet it probably in, you know, half the states of the United States here. So it really doesn't matter. But I think you'd be removing a lot of the excitement if you went to 100 teams. And it would totally remove the idea of pre-March Madness, which is fantastic because conference tournament week is great too. I don't think college basketball needs to do anything except for just keep it the same way. If you said, oh, we're going to add two more teams, make it 70, 70, okay, fine, 72, fine, no problem. But 100 teams? I mean, that, and then, by the way, you're opening up the door to not Cinderella teams, but teams like under 500 that go far. Like, essentially what you're saying basically is, let's create bowl season for college basketball. Let's put teams in. Oh, congratulations, we're 6-6. We get to a bowl game? Like, come on. It's a little bit much. I have mini reality because I could go with a couple more teams, but fantasy overall. George Clooney talking in the media about just different things. Whenever he talks, obviously, it's, you know, there's some interest involved. He's probably one of the most popular American actors still going today. Before George Clooney was one of the biggest actors, he was on television shows. People forget maybe that he was on Roseanne. He was on The Facts of Life very early on in his career. This is pre-Davis's time for sure. Doesn't even know what Facts of Life is, probably. The show that I grew up watching. And then
I know Facts of Life.
Okay, you do know Facts of Life. Good. ER, then. You must know ER. This was a show that came out about doctors in a hospital treating patients. Now there are hundreds of shows about doctors and hospitals and patients. But this was the first one. This was the first one of many. I can't name them all, but there's millions of them. They're still going today. Like, all these shows on CBS, Davis, like, they pop up when I'm watching football. I'm like, I've never heard of the show before, but they, you know, but they're promoting it. It'll be around for a year. We'll never hear about it ever again. Fantasy or reality, you have seen one episode of ER.
Yeah, I got fantasy. Never seen an episode. I do know, I'm sure I've seen like clips or whatever of it, of Clooney on ER. What I have watched is, I assume the show that spun off of ER's popularity, Grey's Anatomy. My wife, right, huge fan of Grey's Anatomy. And look, to be honest, I love to discredit and laugh at these terrible shows that my wife watches, you know, these reality shows and some of the other, you know, the true crime, that it's a lot of it's really bad. I just to put the cards on the table though, Grey's Anatomy is good. I will sit down and watch an episode of Grey's Anatomy, no problem. I think that's I mean, is it good? No, it's enjoyable. It's good. It's good crap. It's good crap to watch though. But never done ER. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, when ER was on, I was not interested in it, but I definitely saw an episode or two or three or four. Now that we're showing the graphic there, I couldn't tell you who any of the characters were, but now that I see those faces, it reminds me of watching that show a few times and some controversy surrounding the actors, I think, as well. I think those two actors all the way on the screen on your left, I don't think they had beef with each other, but there was beef on the show with them. And then Anthony Edwards, of course, was in those movies back in the day too, the Revenge of the Nerds movies. So that's what made him popular as well. I don't know if you saw those movies as well. Anyway, reality, definitely have seen, I probably set my total on ER episodes at 5. More than one, less than 10, but somewhere in the 5 range. And do remember George Clooney being on those as well. Remember when George Clooney left? I remember that was a big deal as well. So we got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. Davis, what's on your weekend slate? Is it too cold to golf? You can't give me golf this week.
No, it's going to be 81 degrees in the Midwest tomorrow. So hopefully we are. I will get out. I'll at least play 9 tomorrow. Maybe I'll be able to find a tee time for 18, but we'll definitely be swinging the sticks a little bit tomorrow, no doubt.
I mean, warmer there than here? That's kind of odd, being in Florida. We're like high 60s, 70s this week. I don't know what's going on here, but we got to take a break. We got the Sports Grid 60 next, and then the Early Line Friday edition. So we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, says Elijah Moore, who requested a trade, will not play this week. Sort of disappointing there to see. Jets, of course, still have some viable options, including draft picks as well, as they have a big matchup this week. We'll see what ends up happening with the New York Jets. All right, let's turn it over to Davis here. Is fantasy or reality?
So So what I am hoping as a result of this Christian McCaffrey trade and, you know, the NFL seeing all the furor around it and all the content generated on the networks is I hope that the next time, well, one, I hope it just makes trades more common. You know, I hope that Kansas City goes out and offers a second round pick for Elijah Moore. You know, I hope that the Bills are making some moves. We got Robbie Anderson traded this most recent week. But what I really hope is that the next time the NFLPA and the NFL sit down to hammer out a collective bargaining agreement, that they specifically make it easier for trades to happen, because they want what the NBA has, which is everyone so fascinated by the transactions.
All right, the Houston Astros last night imposed their will once again on another team. They have not lost a postseason game yet this year in the Houston Astros. Sort of a bizarre story going on right now that the owner of the Houston Astros, Jim Crane, has not yet extended his general manager, James Click. And Dusty Baker's future seems to be a little bit uncertain moving forward as well. For the best team in baseball, I would say that's pretty newsworthy. But from an Astros perspective, absolute dominance. And by the way, with Gerrit Cole going in the next game, would you say that it's sort of do or die for the Yankees in game three? I would agree, although a lot of people feel the series is over. Think Houston is really going to lose one, two, or three games in New York? Probably not. Then they go back to Houston for two more. That's why it's so vital to win those first two games of the series. It almost means you win the championship series. And I think Houston is well on their way. That'll do it for us this week. Thanks again to our friends at LTN, our great graphics department, our producer Brett Levy, my co-host Davis Maddox. I'm Craig Mish. Coming up next, it is the Early Line, and I'm right back here with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for News Live. Warren Sharp. Have a great day.